Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Pretty simple. The players play because they want to win. So that's all they're saying is, look, we want to win. And that's our focus. And, you know, we want to win as well. And I think the moves that we're doing by trying to give larger roles to young players, it's so that we can surround those players with better players and give us a deeper team to have a chance. I think, you know, looking back to where we were this summer, you know, we won one round of the playoffs against Edmonton, and then we weren't good enough to beat Vegas. And Vegas is a very strong team. They're probably one of the top two or three in the league right now. They're deep from top to bottom. And that's what we're trying to build. We're trying to get more depth.
The Hawks?
Yeah.
Hey, Stan Bowman. He was on with Mullin Haugh on The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670, that's what you're listening to now on Saturday Suckage. The Hawks are a perfect time to talk. We are Saturday Suckage because of the Hawks. General manager was on the We Suck tour. So he did an interview with our next guest. Jay Zawoski joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And Jay's here with the Madhouse podcast. Jay is also the author of The Big 50, Chicago Blackhawks 50 Moments and Men. And it's a great look at this franchise that has a lot of history. And now they're doing the whole We Suck thing. We're trying to be transparent about it. Jay, what do you make of all this? And how soon does it stop sucking?
Well, the problem is they're probably not going to suck enough. They're not going to be good, but they're not going to be terrible because they're not going to rebuild. They're not going to actually trade Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook. And, you know, I sort of ran this question by Stan Bowman when he was on the Madhouse podcast with me. Like, how possible is it to move a deal that's $10.5 million? And in this climate, it's almost impossible unless you're going to take about that much money back. And at that point, you're probably just better off keeping the better players, right? So a rebuild is not really happening. So they're going to kind of be stuck in the middle here. And the other thing is, when I look at this roster, I don't hate it. You know, they did successfully add some depth with Janmark and Walmark, and Zadorov's going to make their defense better. And you hope that one of these kids emerges, right, and takes a roster spot. But then, but the roster improved, you've got three goalies you don't trust. So it's kind of like, well, are you trying to win? Are you trying to go young? They're not really doing any of it. And I think that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of why I just throw my hands up. Like, what Stan Bowman is saying makes sense, but it just, I don't know how it differs from what they've been doing for the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, and also, as you say that, Jay, I'm thinking to myself, won't this on the team create some conflict amongst the players when you have a team that, if they're not rebuilding, what they are trying to say is that they would like to develop their young players, as in they're probably going to throw a goalie in there that doesn't have a lot of experience. There's going to be players they are going to push forward and let them, you know, go through their growing pains. So you have that versus the guys who you said they can't trade, like Kane and Taves and Keith and Seabrook, who are there strictly to win. They don't care about any of this development stuff. Won't that create some sort of weird conflict within the team?
Probably, you know, and Sam Bowman says that he's talked to the veterans and they understand the plan now and things are a bit more clear. Remember, when Jonathan Taves spoke out with Mark Lazarus the day after the Brandon Saad trade, that was before the Hawks signed a couple, you know, 25 and 27-year-old veterans to make the team better. So there is a little bit of context added there where it wasn't just Crawford left, Saad left, and all they had to show for it was Zadorov. There's a few more guys added to the mix now that are going to help the team. But it is sort of that conflict of, like, we're here to win. We're, you know, we're three-time Stanley Cup champions. We want to be great. The problem is the reason they can't win is because of their contracts, right? Like, they're kind of hamstrung because Taves and Kane make 10.5 and Keith and Seabrook make a lot of money. So they can't really do much to improve significantly. That's why they sort of have to hope for these young players to develop and step up and be good. And they've got to sort of supplement or, you know, the roster with guys who are in their low to mid-20s making affordable contracts and hope that some of those guys catch fire. And you got to hope that one of these prospects at least really takes a huge step forward. And if that happens, then we can talk. But again, that brings me back to the goalie thing. And until you know what you have in goal, it's really hard to project any sort of success for this team.
Jay Zawoski is our guest. He is the co-host, one of the co-hosts of the Madhouse podcast, the author of the book, The Big 50, Chicago Blackhawks 50 Moments and Men Who Made That History. And you need to get it now so you're well-versed on this upcoming Hawks hockey season about what used to be. And it's really easy to go on this We Suck tour and try to act like you're transparent when there's really nothing else to do. There's no fans, there's no tickets that won't be sold. None of them are going to be sold. There's nobody to dissuade. It's easy to look transparent this way, and it's easy to know you're not going to lose your job because Danny Wirtz and Rocky Wirtz don't want to pay for another general manager and another coach. And when you talk about goaltenders, they got rid of the best goaltending tandem, I thought, in the league. And now you're left with three unproven goaltenders and a coach who can't coach defense. He can't get his point across. He can't implement a system when he's had the time to do it. And it can only get uglier. But again, without fans buying tickets, this is the time that you can get away with this. And it feels kind of, if I were a Blackhawk fan, I'd feel really helpless because I'm not sure I trust the GM because of his choice of coaches. I just feel helpless if I were a Hawk fan that this is not what I want to see, because I look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, all they do is make the playoffs around Crosby and Malkin. All they do, no matter who's coaching, no matter who's GMing, no matter who's in and around them, they've made the playoffs for 14 straight seasons. And had there not been 25 or 800 NHL teams in the playoffs, the Hawks wouldn't have been in them this year for the third straight year. And I feel helpless if I'm a Hawks fan. Am I right? Well, am I wrong? How do you feel, Jay?
Well, here's threw a lot at me there. So the coach thing. I asked Bowman about that. I said, what makes you confident that this is the guy to lead this organization forward? And he talked about his ability to communicate with young players and how players of this generation, the 22, 23-year-olds, want specific coaching. Right? They want to be told, here's what you did wrong, here's how to fix it, here's what we expect, here's A, B, C, D, E of what you need to do. Whereas, and look, we all think of Patrick Kane as this kid. Patrick Kane's, what, 32, 33? Mm. He comes from an era, and Keith and Seabrook and Taves come from an era where Coach Q or whoever the coach would be like, you sucked, be better next game, get out of here. And that was enough, right? And there is a generation gap between these players. There's 10 years between Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. I know that sounds crazy, but that is a different generation. So he believes that Colleton's communication skills are what makes him qualified to bring the Hawks into this next era. Okay, fine. So then I asked, actually may have been opposite order, but it doesn't matter. I said, we've heard these veteran players complain about Jeremy Cowan's system and how it's restrictive, especially Duncan Keith has said that I don't get to use my instincts. It's all too rigid. It's all too, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I think regimented maybe is a good word for it. And what Stan said was, well, you know, these guys played under Quenneville for 10 years and it became second nature to them and it became instinct for them. And it was a big adjustment for them to adjust to a new system. And he said it could have been Jeremy Cowan, it could have been Scottie Bowman, but a change from what you're done for 10 years is difficult. And Bowman said, it was harder for them than I expected, or it took longer than I expected for the veterans to understand the system. So that tells me, well, if you just told me Jeremy Cowan's this great communicator, right? And you've got these four pillars of your franchise that could have been told 10 years ago, you suck, be better. And they got that, but they can't get the specific instruction. Right, like they can't take specific, like, so Jeremy Cowan, who's more specific than you just sucked, is that too complicated for these guys? That's the thing. It's like, I don't know. And I don't think Jeremy Cowan is necessarily a bad coach. I don't think he's the right coach for this team at this moment. In 3 years from now, when Taves and Kane and Keith and those guys are off the team, maybe that's when you bring in the boy genius coach and you try to wow everybody. You mentioned the Pittsburgh Penguins, okay? Evgeny Malkin makes $9.5 million. That's $10 million less than both Taves and Kane. And Sidney Crosby, who is the generation's best player, makes $8.7 million as compared to $10.5 million from Taves and Kane. Now, that's what? It's only a savings of, you know, $3 million, but that's a guy that's who can contribute to your team. That's a player. That's a guy that helps. That's keeping Tuomo Ruutu. Or, I'm sorry, wow. It's keeping Teuvo Teravainen. too many T's. It's keeping Teuvo Teravainen instead of trading him, right? It's being able to afford Artemi Panarin instead of trading him for Brandon Saad. Those, we've talked about this over and over again, Steve and Mark. Those extra millions, those extra 500Ks, those extra no movement clauses, those extra 2 years, all these things that Bowman hands out. And look, you can argue three Stanley Cups earns you those benefits. Fine. But then you have to understand that at the end of this thing, it's going to be ugly. And we all knew that. When we saw Marian Hossa sign and we saw these long-term contracts, we all sort of laughed like, oh, that's going to be tough towards the end. Well, guess what? Here we are. It's the end. And it's going to be rough. And I look at this roster and I see potential. I see a lot of young guys who are already pretty good, right? Kirby Dach was the best Blackhawk in the playoffs. He's 19. Adam Boqvist played a lot of games last year. He's 20. When we talked to Stan Bowman this week, he said that he thought Ian Mitchell, their next defensive prospect, was ahead of Boqvist last year, but he opted to go back to college. So there's a scenario where Mitchell starts the year in Chicago and Boqvist doesn't. DeBrincat's 22. Dylan Strom is 23. There is that young core, but my question is, who's the next Taves? Who's the next Kane? I think Bowman thinks it's Kirby Dach, and I guess we're going to find out, but it's, you need more than one of those, and it's hard to get those guys when you're picking in the middle of the draft.
Man, we all got to know Dominic Kubalik a little bit too, so he's another one of those names to add to that bunch, Jay. Also, so back to the goalie situation, If Jeremy Colleton is in charge of this, this is an incredibly important decision for the franchise going forward. How do they handle it? Is it just a good old-fashioned competition between Delia, Lankinen, and Subban? Who's the starting goalie for the Blackhawks?
I think if something was decided and they dropped the puck today, they would say Malcolm Subban's a starter. He's got the most NHL experience. He was a first-round pick. The nice thing is they've only got $1.85 million tied up in both goalies. Delia makes $1 million. Subban makes $850K. And Bowman, in every interview he's done, has alluded to adding a goaltender next offseason. I think he's got somebody in mind. I'm looking at the free agents ahead, and none of them fit the plan that Bowman's talked about, so maybe he's talking about a trade. Maybe he thinks something's going to happen at the expansion draft. I don't know, but it seems like he's got something in mind. Meantime, you let these young guys play it out and see what happens. It's just tough for me to say, look, you're going to try to win and rebuild on the fly. That's basically what he's saying, right? Add young depth around the veteran core. That's fine and good. And again, you can make an argument that this roster, if everything breaks correctly, could be a playoff team, but I can't buy that with these goalies. I just can't. Unless one of these guys jumps up and becomes a number one guy, they're not going to have much of a chance. And look, you had a very similar roster last year and two all-star goalies for the bulk of the season, and it took a pandemic to make the playoffs, right? So yeah. I just don't know how with three unproven guys in net, and the one guy with the most experience has been closer to being called a bust than a future breakout star. I don't know how you draw a line to the playoffs as they're currently assembled with these goalies.
Our guest is Jay Zawoski. He is the co-host of the Madhouse podcast, talking about the Blackhawks. He's the author of The Big 50, Chicago Blackhawks. You can find that wherever quality books are sold.
And crabby books.
Also the co-host of the I'm Fat podcast, and I could not miss this opportunity to have you, Jay, weigh in on the Boomstick, which is having a renaissance now that the World Series is in Texas and it went viral this week. There is a food item that is called the Boomstick, is a 2-foot all beef hot dog smothered in chili, nacho cheese, jalapenos, caramelized onion. It weighs 3 pounds and costs $27.50. Your thoughts?
There's no,
sir.
As my guy Rick Camp likes to say, there's no bad words in there. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of the Boomstick here.
Uh-huh.
And this is not ideal ballpark food. This is a mess. You're going to have dirty hands, dirty face. You're going to need a million napkins. This is not something you could place under your chair to finish later. It looks good. Oh. It looks like something I would eat, but at a ballpark, that's a tough go. If we're talking about my kitchen table or a picnic table somewhere, and I have a fork and knife and I can sort of cut this thing into 8 pieces or whatever, yeah, I think I could. I don't know if I could take down the whole thing, but I could probably. It looks like I could do maybe a quarter of it. Rick, maybe a little bit more. It looks delicious. I just, ballpark wise, it does not seem very functional.
I didn't know if that
I
was
like
something
that. Functional. That's an important word. That's an underrated word in food parlance, I would say. Think food has got to be fun. It's like, I'm sure you guys have discussed this, Jay, the whole like food that you can drive and eat. It's got to be functional, right?
Yeah, that's my biggest complaint with Taco Bell is I get Taco Bell in the car and there's just lettuce everywhere. You know, lettuce on the floor, or somehow someone ends up on the ceiling. It's just not conducive to car eating. You know, that's part of the problem. And our guy Matt Spiegel invented but never actually followed through on the passenger seat buffet, which is some sort of folding tray that you can pull out that gives you a nice flat surface to eat while you're driving. And, you know, some reservoirs for the sauce cups if you need those. But, yeah, I think that functionality at a ball game is important. Plus, it's 2 feet long. That's going to become an issue for your neighbor as well. That's going to be on your neighbor's lap. And so it needs to be kind of a communal agreement that this is going to be consumed in this row, and I hope no one has a problem with it. It looks good. I would eat it. The ingredients sound terrific, but I just don't know. I don't know. That's a tough thing to consume at a baseball game. I need something that's going to be quick, clean, you know, and delicious. The Boomstick is one of those three.
I didn't know if the Boomstick at 3 pounds and 2 feet long with something with all the other stuff on it is something that you would think you should share, could share, would have to share, or is this a me, myself, and I kind of food product?
I don't think so. For me, my fatness is more from consistent bad choices as opposed to volume of food consumed. You know, it's not. I don't have a huge capacity for a ton of food. But just know that 9 out of 10 meals I'm eating are bad.
So you're looking kind of the Cal Ripken of fatness, right?
Yes,
you're there. You can depend on bad food choices every day.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going out to dinner, or you know, if I'm ordering out, because that's what we have to do now, a pub-sized burger, you know, which is what, maybe half pound, is your typical pub-sized burger.
Yeah.
And an order and a side and a couple uh-huh. beers, and I'm pretty good to go. I think Campy has a little more capacity than I do. I feel if we were going to have some sort of food challenge, that Rick would be the one to tackle that. But I praise my own consistently bad food choices. That I think I'm the champion of that. Sometimes I think back, I'm like, all right, what did I eat this week? And it just looks like something they'd throw comically on an infomercial about how to die quickly.
Congratulations.
It's a little bit morbid for Saturday morning, but it's true.
I had a salad this week. Back off.
We were discussing salads earlier, especially
with
in
ranch.
The course of meat on spurs, meat on spears, and there's just no room for that. No salads, no sides. It just takes up room from the meat, and meat's the whole object of the exercise. Well, so
all the salad's doing is adding calories when you think about it.
Well, the dressing does. Salad itself doesn't really. It's the dressing where you get all the calories.
I was at the Jewels right. this week, and talking to the checker, I was buying a big thing of peanut butter, and the checker said, "Oh, I make three slices of toast every morning, and my grandma yelled at me that I had to put peanut butter on it to make it healthy," and I go, "You know, I would like to believe that that's logical, but like adding a healthy item to an unhealthy item doesn't make the unhealthy item healthy all of a sudden, you know. That was my mom's thing too, like." Why don't you have a healthy snack, like cheese and crackers? And I'm like, all right. And I would eat a sleeve of crackers and 25 slices of cheese and be like, why am I getting fat? I'm eating healthy. My mom said this is healthy. I don't know what the problem is.
Right.
And the more you eat, the healthier you're getting. You can just feel it happening, can't you?
Absolutely.
All right.
Feel the expansion.
That protein, man. That protein's good for you, you know?
That's right.
They tell you. Cheese is protein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, we appreciate your time. Thank you for
anytime.
talking yep. pucks and boomsticks.
Let me throw out the website if people want to order an advanced signed copy of the book. MadhousePod.com/book will take you to that. There'll just be an image of the book on the page. Click that image and you fill out the order form and I'll ship it out this week. I just packed, I'm looking at my box here, 25 books I shipped out Friday and today. I'm on my eighth case of books, which is actually unbelievable. That's
good
from people
you.
Who have just ordered from me directly. So thank you to everybody who's ordered. I really appreciate the support. And if you don't want a signed copy, like Steve said, anywhere you buy books, it is available. But support your local independent bookseller if you can.
Give them the address again, because you got to make sure you get the right address to not just get the book, but also know that this is when being a Blackhawks fan was fun. So make sure you get that, because it sucks right now. So
all right, I know you guys
again.
Yeah, you skew older, so I'm gonna say http colon slash slash www.madhousepod.com/ the one that goes, you know, up to the right, book, you're good. MadhousePod.com/book.
/AOL.com.
.html.gov.
Yahoo.com. All right.
.gov.edu. See you, buddy.
O-R-G.
All right. Thanks, I always appreciate you guys.
Love you a long time.
Love you, man.
Jay Zawoski. The book.
Steve,
great.
I got Bears
the
news.
Information. You got Bears news. You know what? Well, skip Wagner, because we got Bears news and we need to get to it. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Bears news updates, discuss it. And we have an interview with Joe Buck coming up in the second half hour. So we'll do all that and explain it to you later. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here's what I think. I think it's going to be Alex Barr starting today at guard. He's been the guy working out there. He was the first guy. Yeah, he struggled on the first couple plays that they put him in there, but then I thought he was decent the rest of the way. So I think you give him another chance. If it doesn't look good, it's a halftime replacement. You know, then you try somebody else. You try Rashad Coward. I don't know what Jason Spriggs is doing, if he's a guy that they would consider in there, more of a veteran type to slot. You don't think so?
No, not putting Spriggs at guard. Nope.
Okay. All right, forget Springs and Guard. I'm just going to take that straight from Olin.
But Mark, just, yeah, and I'm sure Olin's right, but Springs awesome. Did actually play more guard than tackle at Green Bay because he kind of busted out a tackle. But he's still our guy now. So.
Still a no. It's a no for me.
Hub, it doesn't matter how much we've seen him at guard. Olin says no.
And I trust in Olin on this one.
I do too. That made my day, man.
Sorry about that. I couldn't hold that in.
That was the moment.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that earlier. Saturday 2nd, that's Mark Grody, and getting the official word from Olin Kreutz.
Big old
note. Share with the class the background on that, and then your Bears news before we have to get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty self-contained. It was me just thinking, hey, Jason Spriggs, so how about giving him a shot? He's just sitting there. He's a veteran. They like veterans in there, you know, and it was a non-starter. I actually got it wrong all around because it turned out about an hour before the game, we learned that it was Rashad Coward that would be starting in that last game against Carolina. So just stricken from the record anything I say about the Bears offensive line here forth, or Hub for that matter. Olin, it's all about you, brother. That's what it is. The Bears news. Much more important than anything out of this nonsense. Akeem Hicks was back in full. He was back in full practice today. He had been sick for 2 days. There is no designation for his status. Excuse me. Meaning he's cleared to play. He'll play. Barring any kind of setback or something weird. Khalil Mack of the back injury did not practice yesterday. He did return to practice today. Excuse me.
What?
I am just so choked up by this.
Yes, by Akeem Hicks being healthy.
Yes, and then Khalil Mack practiced limited because of the back injury. He is listed as questionable on the injury report for Monday. So typically that has meant that guys play. Just going from this year. So I can't guarantee you that, but an incredibly good sign that they at least had him down as limited. I guess a couple other important ones. Buster Skrine, who I talked about earlier, you know, with his need and what the Rams do offensively, he practiced limited after missing all week, so he is also questionable. Good sign for him. And my guy, Jason Spriggs, did not practice today. Yeah, he is questionable. Yeah.
No, we're not putting Spriggs in guard. Nope.
No, doing that here.
Sherrick McManus out. Sherrick McManus is out.
Out.
Deion Bush questionable.
And Jason Spriggs, he's going to retire the letters DNP.
Nope.
Okay. No.
Nope.
No.
No.
No. That's it.
Just find a better place for Spriggs.
Yeah, just be happy you weren't in the room with
I know.
Would make that suggestion. You can just.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, just imagine that. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll lead you up to the last part of the show, which is a replay of Joe Buck interview that Inside the Clubhouse did earlier today, and that'll take you up to Alabama-Tennessee football. So take a break now and make sure that Olin doesn't get to Mark about suggesting Jason Spriggs, and I would run. In the meantime, I would run, if you could, Mark.
Run.
I would run. Run away. Run away.
I like it.
Saturday 2nd, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
No, we're not putting Spriggs in guard. Nope.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mark, we have to go.
A new man.
No.
Bojangles, and he dance for you.
There's Bojangles. Jerry Jeff Walker passed away today. We were going to get to that. We didn't get a chance to get to that Wegner. So, Mark, we have to go. We'll be back next Saturday. We will do What Are You Doing, Wegner, and all that other kind of stuff. Want to thank Tom Thayer, Jay Zawoski for joining us. And now we're going to walk you up to Alabama, Tennessee with an interview with Joe Buck that Inside the Clubhouse did. That's Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. They did that earlier today. So thanks for listening. Saturday Suckage wouldn't be what it is without you, although we don't know what it is. Do we, Mark? Do we know what it is? Any idea?
We have no idea, but before we go, Steve, again, congratulations to you and your son, Brandon, for getting married. I wish you all happiness.
Well, he got married. No, I just want to clarify.
I know,
that.
But you're part of it, man.
Said.
This is
yeah.
This is a new thing in your life. Things are going to happen for both of you. Right. So congrats. Just take the compliment.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Brandon committed matrimony. That's all I can say. So, and it was a good thing. It was loving and intimate and touching and all that kind of stuff. So thanks for listening. Man. And here's the Inside the Clubhouse interview with Joe Buck, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Laugh, slapped his leg a step.
Welcome back in on Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score. I'm Matt Spiegel, my partner Bruce Levine. It's Bruce's show. I'm his partner, truth be told. And we welcome in our guest right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park, kind enough to give us a few minutes in the midst of 8 games in 8 days. It is the tireless, seemingly, Joe Buck joining us right now. Good morning, Joe.
Hello. What's up, guys? How we doing?
We are
That's
good.
Great.
We are good. You know, do it as long as you can, right, man? It's awesome. And I told you this off the air. You sound as comfortable as I've ever heard you doing anything, and it's really from sport to sport, from night to night. I hope that is real, and I hope that not is drug related or anything like that. You sound very comfortable.
Yes. I'm a drug-addled play-by-play guy, just wandering the streets. And if I happen to come across a stadium where a game is happening, I just wander in and do it and wander out. I don't know if it's a crowd thing. Maybe that is, that it feels more intimate because it's not, you know, a sold-out, crazed atmosphere. It sounds like it in my headset when I put it on because they pipe in crowd noise, but I feel maybe that's part of the equation because it does feel different, but it's been fun. I've loved having kind of a game a day, and you know, once you get into these postseason series, you set it up and then you let it unfold, and if you're willing to just let it unfold instead of trying to grab it by the throat all the time and just hammer people with stats and all that, I think you can have fun with it, and that's kind of the attitude I've taken this year.
Joe, when you prepare for a game on an individual day, take us through preparation for Game 4 of the 2020 World Series. What is your day like, other than being woken up by people you don't want to talk to on the radio?
No, I would talk to you two any day, and you both know that. the funny thing is I have the kind of the skeleton of what I need. So I have a scorebook that it's different than football. Football is you work all week, or in the case of a Thursday game, you still work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. By the time you get to the stadium, what I have in front of me for football is done. Like we get there really early, and there's a lot of standing around. When I get there for a baseball game, like we get there really early. So we'll get there today at, let's say, 3:30, and the game is it's whatever it is, 7 o'clock. And it feels even longer because there's no access to managers. We do a Zoom call with them. We're not going down on the field. We're not standing around the batting cage. We're not doing any of that. So because of social distancing and trying to stay, outside their bubble, we're in the booth for basically 3 hours of doing nothing. But that time is used for me putting the lineups in for that day, all of the numbers, regular season, what they've done in the World Series, what they've done in the postseason in general. And then I kind of just build it toward the first pitch. But the skeleton part that I was talking about, I worked on that coming back from Philadelphia the other night for the next 3 games. So I've got the obvious parts of my scorebook done, and then I fill in as I go. But I'll get up, you know, once I get off the phone, I'll start working on mainly the pitching matchup for tonight, get all the stats in, get all the trends or whatever in, and go with that. But it's mainly pitching until I get to the park, and then it's lineup, and then it's staff. I mean, I don't know if that's boring or not, but that's the only way I can do it.
last night when Austin Barnes had the beautiful sacrifice, the squeeze bunt, I immediately was wondering, God, how many have there been in the postseason? Because I remember a couple weeks ago, the number was zero. It was zero. And you had it right away within one sentence. You said, that's only the third of the entire postseason. I'm like, damn, there it is right there. Is that you? Is that Steve Horn, your guy? Is he still with you? I don't know where
oh,
that
he's
was.
He's with me. If he leaves, he's the best. I'm done.
Yeah, he's the best, right? So
yeah, he is. But it's funny because we had just looked at that stat. It's just one of those good timing things because we had just looked at that stat before the game started. We were running through all the graphics that we had, and that was a graphic, and it did read two. And so I'm no genius, but I know that that 2 + 1 = 3, and so I was able to spit it out pretty fast. But the reason why it was an interesting stat is because, you know, you're talking about whatever the other years have been here recently, but it's 20 or 30 per postseason, or, you know, it used to be way more. But that was obviously because pitchers were hitting. Now with the universal DH, there's less of that, so much so that there's been basically none. And for Barnes to execute a safety squeeze at the end of October, you know, I thought it's a pretty significant play because these guys didn't have a full spring training. And, yeah, I know everybody should be able to bunt. But I think anybody watching the game today knows that bunting is such a lost art. And to just put bat on the ball and be able to push it exactly where you want to push it and deliver a run in support of Walker Buehler, it was just a big play. And so, yeah, we were able to spit that stat out pretty fast.
Joe Buck is our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Matt. I'm Bruce. We're here for you 52 weeks out of the year from 9 to 11 talking baseball, and we're fortunate to have Joe for just a couple more minutes here. Joe, what are your major concerns about baseball going forward and the health of the sport? Where do you think there are a couple power points in your mind of what they have to do to stay as viable as they've been and to I don't know if you can call it, recapture the energy of the sport the way it was at one point.
Yeah, I think that's a tricky equation because it requires a lot of people sitting down and figuring out the best way forward. And I think it obviously requires people on ownership and management side and people on the player side. You know, when I talk to players, forget me. I mean, I'm 51. I think I grew up in a really fun era of the game. I wish I would, you know, as a true baseball fan, I wish I was even older because I wish I had seen baseball in the 60s, which I think is kind of the heyday of the sport with the players that were kind of intersecting in the 60s. And you know, you could write a thesis on that. But I still think 80s and 90s baseball is different than the baseball we see here. What I love about the game today is the power. I love power pitching. I loved watching Walker Buehler last night, but I also love watching a pitcher get deeper into a ball game. And Buehler, you know, had they pushed him, I think could have given another inning or two. But that's, you know, that's with the lead the way it was, they didn't need to push him last night. I think the three true outcomes is getting pretty heavy in the game with strikeout or walk or homer. And talking to people that are fresh out of the game, I think once they're in it or when they're in it, it's difficult to make the argument that the game needs some tweaking. Once they get out and they watch it as fans, I think their attitude can sometimes change. So I would like to see, you know, I'd like to see what the commissioner was talking about a couple of springs ago. A pitch clock, which is instituted in the minor leagues. I'd like to see more strikes called by umpires. Get the game, in other words, get the game moving with a little bit more of a higher pace to it. And I think that, you know, when they talk about overall time of game, it's not the overall time of game of getting it down from 3 hours and 6 minutes to 2 hours and 58 minutes. It's once the inning starts, how much action is actually happening, whether that's banning the shift and making it go back to being able to put the ball in play you know, a ground ball finding a hole a little bit more easily. I think that's where the disconnect is, and everybody's aware of it. It's just how do you kind of legislate that stuff back into the game? So, you know, Rob Manfred's aware of it. I think plenty of owners are, and I think more and more players are that doing that would make some sense. But I love, you know, last night that game was awesome, and I love seeing power on power. And last night the Dodgers' power, both at the plate and on the mound, was better than Tampa Bay's.
And it was a nice mix because there was lots of good two-strike approaches and two-out approaches from the Dodgers, which has emerged as a theme of this postseason, and it often does. I'll say this, in terms of also marketing the game, the way that I don't know if that was new or just really good, but I heard the home plate umpire better than I perhaps ever had in my life last night. Was that new at all, or is that just a guy who was willing to be a part of the action? Because I heard everything, and I was enjoying the hell out of that last night.
That microphone's always been there. I think it's up to the audio guy in the truck being willing to kind of, you know, as we say in the business, pot that up, but, you know, push the little button forward to make that a little louder. And yeah, I'm with you. I think anytime, I don't care what the sport is, anytime you can take a viewer down into it and kind of cross that imaginary wall and get inside it and hear that at the plate is awesome. So our audio guys, Joe Carpenter, he's a genius. Our audio guys have, and our whole department has been so good this year. They've never been tested like this before with no fans. And then you get into an LCS and a World Series, at least in Arlington, we've had fans. But how do you make the game with the ambient sounds, you know, on TV sound normal in this pandemic year?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.